This is the Monday Morning Zine. Good morning, I'm Tom Yoder. There are tens of thousands of abandoned mines in the U.S., many of which are located here in the Four Corners area. A lot of these mines emit heavy metals and other pollutants which contaminate rivers and streams. In a number of instances, Good Samaritan groups are willing to conduct mine reclamation at these sites if they have environmental liability protection from the Clean Water Act. But this liability protection, which could encourage mine cleanups, can only occur through federal legislation. Since 1999, 14 bills have been introduced into Congress that would open the door to more volunteer watershed groups who want to clean up polluting abandoned mines, but none of the bills has passed. Joining me this morning to talk about this issue are Peter Butler of the Animas River Stakeholders Group and Tom Shalacki. He's a video producer who's just released Act of Congress, Good Samaritans and Draining Mines 2014, a short documentary on abandoned mines and so-called Good Samaritan legislation that could encourage more mine cleanup. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Peter, let's start with you. Can you explain a little bit why the Animas River Stakeholder Group is involved with this?
The Animas River Stakeholders Group has been around for about 20 years now, and the idea behind it was the area up around Silverton. EPA thought that it might be a good place to designate most of that area as a Superfund site, and a lot of people felt like it was better if you got local interests together, all different government agencies, and work collaboratively to clean up the mine drainage or see what drainage was caused by mining and what was natural. And the group has been working ever since trying to do mine remediation projects up there. Overall, there's been almost 60 mine remediation projects in that area. That's probably more than just about any other watershed around. But because of the liability issue, we're not able to do much with draining mines.
So why aren't the companies that were doing this mining originally responsible for this?
Most of those companies are long gone. Many of these mine sites haven't been mined in almost 100 years. And the companies that were there are long gone. There was the largest mine there was mined until 1991. And that company is still around and has done a great deal of remediation. And there's still some question as to whether they need to do more or not. But the short answer is that most of these mining operations, the people are long gone.
Can you explain a little bit more thoroughly the liability that is there under the Clean Water Act that sort of hampers groups like yours to do this kind of work, this cleanup work?
Under the Clean Water Act, any point source of pollution, which is basically something coming out of a pipe, is considered something that needs to have a permit. And the permit has certain conditions on it. And so draining mines are considered point sources of pollution, and that determination was made in about 1994. As a result, if you do a partial cleanup, say you put a wetland there or something that you could maybe reduce the metals by 30-40%, you're potentially liable to have to get a discharge permit, which would mean you'd have to take out about 90-95% of the metals. It would be much more expensive. It's difficult to do in a lot of these locations. And it may not be very cost-effective to do that. It may be cost-effective to do something simple and get a large chunk of the metals out, but to get all the way down to 90-95% isn't very efficient. So people are unwilling to take these permits. The other issue is when a draining mine is going to probably drain forever unless somehow you plug it up. And as a result, if you start treating that mine drainage and you have to get a permit, you're treating that in perpetuity.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Monday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning, my guests are Peter Butler of the Animas River Stakeholders Group and video producer Tom Shalacki. We're talking this morning about liability involved with mine cleanup around the Four Corners area and really across the United States. Tom, wanted to ask you, let's talk a little bit about the film that you just released. It's called An Act of Congress, Good Samaritans and Draining Mines 2014. Tell me a little bit about the video that you've produced and who you expect the audience to be.
Well, let's see. Let me give you a little bit of background of how I got into this. In 2001, started talking with Dr. Robert Blair, retired geology professor at Fort Lewis College. And at that time, he was wanting to start the Center for Mountain Studies, which turned into Mountain Studies Institute. And he pointed me to Mountain Film Festival in Telluride. And that's where I got inspired to pick up a video camera and document these stories of river cleanup and mine drainage. In 2010, we did an earlier video of Good Samaritan legislation, and that was a short 6-minute piece. Well, in 2012, a mini grant program from the Nonpoint Source came out, and I applied for some funding to update the 2010 film. And so this has been, we've been collecting footage from Senator Udall, congressional legislation, introducing the legislation on the floor, some on-site interviews, and some more background on the Good Samaritan and draining mine issue. And so we have we've come to a point now where we're ready to introduce this film. The time is right. There is a mining conference in Creed, April 24th and 25th, sponsored by Mountain Studies Institute and the Uncompahgre Watershed Partnership. And so the film would be screened there. There are two bills in Congress now, and so the timing is right for this discussion now. Senator Udall has a Good Samaritan bill on the Senate side, and Representative Tipton has a bill on the House side. We're hoping for debate in committees on each of the House and Senate side, and one of those bills we hope would get a vote this session.
And talk a little bit about how the film is being distributed. How can people see it?
It's on YouTube now, so if you go to YouTube.com, the channel is Tom S. Producer, so TOMSPRODUCER. That is the featured video on that channel. So if you go to Tom S. Producer at YouTube, the Act of Congress, Good Samaritan and Draining Mines video is on is the featured video on that channel.
Now, as I said in the introduction, over 14 bills have been introduced for this Good Samaritan, what they call Good Samaritan legislation. Peter, why is it so hard for these kinds of bills to get passed?
Well, a couple different reasons. One, it's very hard to get anything passed in Congress these days, of course. Although this is very much a bipartisan effort, there's representatives on both sides of the aisle who recognize the issue. I think there's a couple of reasons why these bills haven't passed. One, people are very concerned about tinkering with the Clean Water Act. They don't want to make any changes. They're worried that it might weaken the Clean Water Act in some shape or form. The other issue is that some people feel like it can be done under a CERCLA cleanup. CERCLA is the environmental legislation that contains Superfund. Some of these cleanups could potentially be done, at least the large ones, be done under CERCLA. But those are very large sites, and there's a lot of issues with having a CERCLA site and being named a Superfund site. That's something that people don't take lightly. It's a little frustrating that people won't focus on this issue. I think part of it is as well that from the national perspective, not many people think much about draining mines, even though it's one of the biggest polluters. Certainly in Colorado, it's the biggest contributor of pollution to our lakes and streams. But nationwide, you know, this isn't an issue compared to the national debt or, you know, military action in one place or another. It's just a much smaller potatoes issue. And those are hard to get people to focus on.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Monday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I'm talking with Peter Butler from the Animas River Stakeholders Group and Tom Shalaki. He's a video producer who's just released Act of Congress, Good Samaritans and Draining Mines 2014. We're going to take a short break here on the Zine and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We are back. This is the Monday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning we are talking about mine cleanup on abandoned mines, and my guests this morning are Tom Shalaki. He's a video producer who's just released a short film. It's 12 minutes long. It's called Act of Congress, Good Samaritans and Draining Mines 2014. Also joining me this morning is Peter Butler. He's from the Animas River Stakeholders Group. Peter, let's get a little bit better picture of what kinds of cleanup activities and what these mines look like, because I think it is important to distinguish between a draining mine where water is actively draining out of a mine and then mine cleanup where there might be piles of debris and that kind of thing that need to be cleaned up.
Yeah, well, most mine sites frequently have both. They have a big waste rock piles on the side, and sometimes there's a misnomer there. People see the waste rock on kind of the side of the hillside, and they say that's mine tailings, and that's actually not mine tailings. That's the waste rock. That's the stuff that they pulled out of the mine and decided not to take off to a mill. Tailings are actually stuff that actually have gone through a mill and tend to be very small, kind of sand-like texture. But anyway, we call both the waste rock that comes out of the mine and we call the tailings, we call that mine waste. And mine waste is something that generally there's a lot less liability issues in trying to clean those up. And we've done probably, well, maybe 30 or so projects in getting rid of that mine waste. Either we've trucked it off to a mill or we've kind of put it, we call it a burrito wrap, where where we put a liner under, we have dig a hole, put a liner or something underneath it, mix it up with lime to raise the pH, and revegetate it and cap it. But basically you're trying to isolate it from water and air. So we can do those types of things with mine waste. The issue is the liability of treating a drainage coming out of a mine. And sometimes those mines are collapsed. You know, sometimes it just looks like a seep along the side of a hillside. Sometimes they're partly open. And that's where the difficulty comes, is that technically you're supposed to have a discharge permit. Now, you can. I mean, you could negotiate something with state regulators or EPA, and they might even sign off on doing something, some kind of partial cleanup on that site. But what we're really concerned about is under the Clean Water Act, there's something called a citizen suit provision. And any citizen can file a suit saying that this site ought to have a discharge permit. So even if you could negotiate with governmental agencies and work out a deal, you never know if somebody's going to file a citizen suit, which would cause you to have to put in a get a permit and put in a full-blown treatment system. We are able to try to prevent the water from coming into some of these mines. That's one way to try to reduce the drainage coming out. One of the more interesting projects we had was there was some draining mines up at the top of Red Mountain Pass, and there was a transbasin diversion up there. It was a ditch that caught water on the Animas side, actually Mineral Creek, and there's a large ditch that was several miles long and caught water and took it over the pass and went it over to the Ouray side. And the water in this ditch went right over the mine workings, and we felt that there was a lot of seepage going down from the ditch into those mine workings. So we managed to acquire a grant where we bought the water rights and basically retired the ditch. So the water rights were dedicated to in-stream flow in a local stream, so we kept the water on the Animas side, and we kept the water from going down into the mine workings and coming out of the mine, basically going through the workings where it was contaminated and then coming out of the mine. So there are projects that you can do in a few locations where you can actually reduce the amount of water coming into the mine. The other thing that has been done, we actually haven't done any of these projects, but some other companies have, they put in a concrete bulkhead, which is basically a big plug in the mine. Those are partially effective. It depends on the location. Some of them leak. Some of them seal up pretty well. Sometimes you reroute the water and it might go somewhere else. Kind of a rule of thumb that we've had is that if we put in a bulkhead, we figure that we can maybe reduce the drainage by about 50%. But you can still have drainage coming out and you still like to do something with it, and you're still unable to do something with it because of the liability issue under the Clean Water Act.
You know, it sounds like what you're describing, this transbasin mitigation and all these things, it sounds pretty complicated. What are you working with other groups in the area to partner around some of these issues?
The Animas River Stakeholders Group is actually not a formal group. It's an ad hoc group. We're not incorporated. There was a lot of contention when the group was first formed. The group consists of mining companies, environmental groups, local agencies such as the county and the Southwestern Water Conservation District, some towns and cities. We also have a lot of state agencies, the Department of Health and Division of Mine Safety and Regulation, DRMS. I missed that somehow.
Some letters out there.
Reclamation Mining and Safety is what I was looking for. And then we have federal agencies, EPA, the Forest Service, BLM, And the idea is to get everybody to try to be on the same page and to coordinate their activities so that we get the we're using resources most efficiently. So we do have a lot of partners in trying to do these different projects. And yes, they can get complicated. And, you know, everybody has their own kind of a little bit of agenda and types of things that they need to do that they're obligated to do with their state agency. But for the most part, we've made things work pretty well. And like I said, we've done a lot with mine waste sites. We've drastically improved water quality in Mineral Creek. We've reduced copper loading by about 70%. We've reduced zinc loading by about 50%. At the same time, we've for some complex reasons, we've had a very large increase in Cement Creek of mine waste. There were some bulkheads put in a very major mine there, and that was done by the mining company. And what that did was that raised the water table up by about 1,000 feet. And the water, after about 6 or 7 years, it started coming out of some old other mine workings. And before, it was coming out of this one portal where it was being treated back in the 1990s. And now with these bulkheads in it, it's leaking out some other sites and it's untreated. So that's a very complex issue. That's the major issue that we're trying to deal with. And that's kind of in the head reaches of Cement Creek.
Tom, you've been to several of these areas, I assume, that Peter's describing as part of your video production project. Can you talk a little bit about things that you saw that were surprising or anything that you learned in the course of making your video about this issue of mine cleanup?
The issue of the water percolating through the mine and the mine workings, I had been fortunate enough to get underground at the Pride of the West mine. And it wasn't all just a torrent of water flowing out of the portal. It's the mountain is porous, and so there's water dripping down from the ceiling or coming out through some old boreholes, some old test boreholes. And so it was the amount and travel of the water throughout the mountain and as it comes out the portal. Mine flood like crazy, you know, but it yeah. wasn't that at all.
Yeah, I think it does put a certain image in your mind when you think about water kind of flowing out with pollutants in it, you know, that kind of classic
right.
image of that. Peter, how can people find out more about this issue or get involved?
Well, one of the reasons why Tom created the video was to get people more interested in the issue. And Colorado's delegation in particular have been real leaders in trying to push this Good Samaritan legislation. Unfortunately, they need some help from other states, and that's been a little harder to come by. Colorado in particular has been very concerned and has done a lot of work on abandoned mines, probably more so than most other states. There are a couple others that are doing a pretty good job, but for many states, this is an issue that's still kind of off to the side. They know about it, but they're not doing a great deal about it. I think what we would like to see is that people bring this up with their congressional delegation. From our standpoint, we feel it needs a federal fix. You know, a state legislation doesn't do any good. And to get that federal fix, you have to get the federal people interested in the issue. I wanted to mention something about what Tom mentioned about the amount of drainage coming out of his mines, and it wasn't this big torrent. A lot of these draining mines don't put out a lot of water. I mean, it's a fairly small amount, but the concentrations of metals in those waters are frequently 1,000 times higher than what would be considered toxic to aquatic life. It's there, and frequently that water looks pretty clean. It has a very it's very acidic. So all the metals are dissolved, so it can frequently look quite clear, but it can be loaded with heavy metals, but you don't know it. I'd also want to mention that for most part, most of these mine sites aren't so much a human health threat. Hmm. Occasionally, you can get some metals that could be human health. There are some mines that might have high arsenic, for example. But it's not something like if you drank a cup of it, you're immediately going to get sick or anything like
die.
That. No. No, it's really much more of an environmental issue that most aquatic species can't tolerate nearly as high concentrations as you or I can. And as you well know, a lot of these metals, you know, they're in your daily vitamins. You get zinc and copper in small amounts. It's just that these amounts are much larger and toxic in much larger concentrations.
Tom, we're wrapping up here, but I just wanted to give you a chance again to tell folks how they can see the video that you produced.
Okay, thanks. Go to YouTube.com and search for the channel, Tom S. Producer, TOMSPRODUCER. And Act of Congress, Good Samaritans and Draining Minds is the feature video on that YouTube channel. I would also like to do maybe a local screening in Cortez or Dolores. That would be great. We could get maybe have a movie night and discuss the issue.
All right. Tom, Peter, thank you both for coming in this morning and talking about this. It's important work that you guys are doing.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Absolutely. You've been listening to the Monday Morning Zine. Today's program was produced by myself, Tom Yoder, and our theme music was written and performed by Brett Peja.